surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil is a liar. Dear God, bless our sermon. Thank you for the precious singing. We do pray, God, that you'll bless us to understand thy word, to keep what we hear, Father, to be doers, and to be mindful of the times that we're living in, to discern these times, Lord, through thy Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures, in Jesus' name, amen. This will be somewhat of a part two of a sermon I did back in December 2012, called UFOs and the Rapture Hoax Hoax. I want you to see from Genesis 3 that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Devices mean schemes. As when God says in the Psalms, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor, let him be taken in the devices that they have imagined. So when the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, it means his schemes, his agenda. If we're not ignorant of it, it means that we can open the Word of God and get revelation, get understanding of what Satan's doing. And I want you to understand what Satan is doing in our age today. The Bible says that the devil is transformed into an angel of light. And his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So we're going to see in Genesis chapter 3 the foundation for all of Satan's future schemes, and it will all be, I believe, based on these words. What are they? You shall not surely die, so there's no accountability for you. The unsaved do not have to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ to escape the eternal lake of fire, and the believer does not have to live holy and do what God said to escape the coming judgment. The devil comes to tell you, you do not have to fear, and then notice, you shall be as gods. When the Spiritism movement hit all over the world in the 1800s, people believed they were talking to dead relatives. And where there was not outright fakery, and there was a lot of just people making money pretending to be mediums, they were actually communing with what? With devils. And I've done sermons showing documentation of what the devils brought when they pretended to be Aunt Betsy. And I assure you, it was, you shall not surely die. Everybody goes to a place of peace. And all religions need to come together. There is no fear. God is a God of love, and there is no judgment. And that is the message they brought. That's what the devils brought. The substance will not change, but the form of divination will change. There are not as many people, perhaps, talking to the dead. I'm sure there are still millions. But it appears that in these last days, the devils are not so much manifesting as Aunt Betsy, the departed, but they are manifesting themselves as aliens, ETs. They are masquerading as Martians, if you will. So we might say that in the first half of the 20th century, the 19th century spiritualism turned upward. Instead of looking at the dead, they began to want to receive messages from the sky, from the aliens. Let's go over these verses in 2 Thessalonians 2 to get an outline of things to come. It says in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, understanding the coming Antichrist is very important. Because what the Bible wants you to understand is Jesus is not going to come and establish his kingdom on this earth until Antichrist runs his course. So if anybody tells you, there is Jesus, he's setting up the kingdom. We're having a one world government and one world peace because that's Jesus, they're a liar. They're a liar. They are deceived. The Antichrist must come. And not only that, a falling away first. You must have the apostasy, as they call it, the falling away, the time when Christians fall into mysticism and the devil's lies like never before in history. I believe we are seeing that today. Who opposes, this is what the Antichrist does, and exalteth himself above all that is called to God. So we have an anarchy spirit, a spirit of rebellion that despises government and ordained authority, and they certainly despise that book, or that is worship, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So there will be a temple that is going to be built in Israel very soon. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So there's going to be these types of miracles, so-called, that the devil is able to do through the Antichrist. And it's going to deceive people in the world. They're going to say, look at what he's doing. This is the great power of God. Or they're going to say the aliens have given him this power, and we can also have this power if we will do what he says. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Beware of signs and wonders that turn you away from the truth of the Bible. It says in 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, these times you're living in, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're going to follow seducing spirits and devils. Look at Revelation 13. The second beast doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Now remember this, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, that's the whole world, by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. There you go. Lying, signs, and wonders. He does these wonders, and people say, this must be the quantum leap. This must be, we've broken through. And just as man rapidly, supposedly, according to their lie, went from a monkey to man in this quantum leap, we are now about to obtain godhood, and we're going to be as gods. And oh, it's going to be very deceptive. And the fundamentalist that opposes this is going to be seen as a cancer on the earth. We already see this happening right now. Now, I want to show you the master plan. Not the ultimate Lord of Lords, but I want to show you the devil's plan. Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, listen to this now, I will ascend into heaven. And he's not just talking about the cloud. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Folks, that's what they call outer space. You understand this? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now don't miss this. This is not only a past revelation from God of how Lucifer fell, wanting to not be content with the domain on earth. He was replaced by Adam. And ever since, he has been attacking mankind and despising mankind. This is not only looking back, but it is a future prophecy. The devil is preparing for this agenda, and he is right now almost about to bring this into fruition. Of course, he's not going to ever kick God off his throne or be like the Most High. But what he is doing is gathering the whole world together to accomplish ascending into the heavens so he can be as God. And he's promising you godhood if you will help him basically with the space program. Now, God says you're going to go to hell. That he's going to have his man, the Antichrist, that comes and brings the whole world together with this space program. They want to go up to the heavens, and that is their goal. And what's going to happen is they're going to go down to hell. The devil, according to Revelation 20, will be cast into hell. This is all future, and I'm telling you right now, it is part of the devil's plan. And you should not be surprised about that. Because in Genesis chapter 11, when the whole world gathered together as a type of this Babylonian sin, what you see is them gathering together to build a tower that they might reach up to heaven. Do you see that? So here you got Genesis 11, the world is one. They build a tower and they're trying to reach up into heaven. Now, we might think of that as just trying to build a tower that is so tall they can get up to heaven, but there's probably more to it. It was probably some type of way, some type of antenna of contacting aliens or who knows, but there was probably more to it. Ancient man was not as stupid as people try to maintain. Just read the book of Job and they could sit down and talk about things on such a deep level and they were far more enlightened than we are today in many ways. There was a time that I had it certainly wasn't a privilege, but I was able to visit the Epcot Center on a family trip, and it was quite revealing. Because the whole time you're there, it's pretty much Genesis 11 and Isaiah 14. We're going to bring all nations together, and we are going to conquer the heavens. And there it was. So to accomplish his plan, to fulfill Isaiah 14, the devil works incrementally, step by step. Snakes, serpents are very patient. So what he had to do was, first of all, decentralize the earth. So he works in steps. That's how he gets you to backslide. It's not just a one-day affair. What he does is incrementally work with you, lower your standards, step by step. And pretty soon you find out that you've drifted so far from where you should be. And you say, how did I get here? Well, it was step by step. And the way the devil gets the whole world to basically join with him in this trying to conquer space, it was a step-by-step incremental seduction. First, decentralize the earth, minimize the earth. Then he spawned multitudes of mystics and pantheists that began to teach that you don't really need the Bible, not a God of the book. We need God outside the Bible. So let's get in touch with basically, they thought they were getting in touch with God and becoming one with God. They believed they were becoming God. Since everything is God, you just need to realize your godhood, shut off your mind. So these mystics and pantheists began to teach you to become one with God, and that was the lie of Genesis chapter 3. Then you had an influential false prophet named Swedenborg. In 1758, according to Life magazine, 1956, the Swedish mystic Swedenborg reported he had talked to Martians. Okay, now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? He's not just talking to devils, he's talking to Martians. Do a little study on Swedenborg and you'll find out that he influenced many modern philosophers, and you would not believe his influence. Though many of you have never heard his name, you have heard his ideas. His influence is very, very vast. He believed he was talking to Martians. So after casting doubt upon the Bible in the Enlightenment age, to where people were beginning to suspect that maybe my Bible doesn't know what it's talking about, maybe it just teaches us about spiritual things and it doesn't know anything about science or this earth, so they began to lose faith in the Bible. Then the devil decentralized the earth. Then in the 19th century, he resurrected the lie of evolution. This further robbed mankind of all meaning, since evolution is just based on the survival of the fittest. And then he began to cast even more doubt upon the preservation of the Bible in numerous ways. Then he raised up theosophy and numerous isms. Then he brought about spiritism and interest in ghosts and divination. But do not forget the main goal that the devil is working toward. It's certainly androgyny, because remember, Eve began to take the lead, and she became in Adam's place, and Adam became passive, and he got in Eve's place, and they both ended up going after this godhood. The Bible says Adam was not deceived, so he was obviously committing idolatry in regard to his wife. But the ultimate bait was godhood in Genesis, and the ultimate bait now for mankind is godhood. Ye shall be as gods. Well, in Genesis, what was the roadblock to godhood? God's commandments. In Genesis, it was God the Father who was the roadblock. For the devil said, God doth know in the day you eat thereof. That's why he told you not to do that. God's trying to keep you from being God, see? Rules, God's word, fundamentally believed. Taken literally. So what then is the roadblock to godhood? Fundamentalists. Fundamental teaching. God's Word, the King James Bible. This is a roadblock to godhood. This is what they're teaching you. So you will see people that will leave fundamental churches. And they say, I discovered liberty. But no, they haven't discovered liberty. They're now slaves to Satan. But following the serpent will be seen as a way of wisdom, enlightenment, godhood, and liberation. So on one side, the devil wants to convince man you're meaningless. You have no meaning. This earth is a grain of sand flowing through space. And there's millions and millions and millions of earths just like that. You are nothing but a grain of sand. So everybody goes to school and they sit there in their humanist church public school. And they sit there and they say, oh wow, we're just nothing but a grain of sand. And then they hear they come from monkeys, survival of the fittest. So they say, well, where's meaning in life? What's the point? So you have Columbine. Them boys confessed openly. Hey, you said we're all just a bunch of monkeys and everything's meaningless. So they went around killing people. See. But while the devil's trying to tell you you have no meaning, you're worth nothing, it's all insignificant, in a paradoxical way, the whole point of that is so you do away with God, you do away with God's purpose, you do away with the centrality of the earth, and the whole point is for you to then be ready for the lie that we are evolving toward godhood. You say, well, how important is the earth? God will reign here on this earth for all eternity. People said, I can't wait to go to heaven for all eternity. They said, you want to go to heaven for all eternity? And said, no, not particularly. I'd like to visit there. They said, well, what kind of a Christian are you? I'm a Bible-believing Christian. The Bible said, God comes down, and His tabernacle is with men, and He dwells with men. And then the book closes, and where the book closes, that's where I leave it. He's going to reign on the throne of David, brother. That's in Israel for all eternity, forever and ever and ever. God reigns on earth. This earth's important. So as evolution was growing in popularity, here comes theosophy with its Lucifer magazine and Madame Blavatsky with her short hair and pants and all of that type of nonsense. And listen to what Blavatsky says in her Secret Doctrine. Lucifer represents life and thought and progress and civilization and liberty and independence. Lucifer is the Logos, the serpent, the Savior. I see. Okay, so the serpent now gives you the wisdom, the lost keys. In her Secret Doctrine, she has a part that says, is there life on other worlds? 1888. So now the stage is being set. In thinking of a plurality, and remember, Blavatsky and all of these folks said that this kingdom is going to come when women begin to change their dress and start dressing like men, and that'll be a sign that we're almost there. And thinking of a plurality of inhabited worlds, we imagine them to be like the globe we inhabit, and peopled by beings more or less resembling ourselves. The fact remains that most of the planets, as the stars beyond our system, are inhabited, a fact which has been admitted by the men of science themselves. M.C. Flammarion, the well-known French astronomer, writes, "The various forces," remember the Antichrist is going to worship a god of forces, "which were active in the beginning of evolution, gave birth to a great variety of beings on the several worlds." The reader who may be disposed to question the validity of these conclusions as being opposed to the Bible may well recall those days when the burning zeal of the primitive church opposed the doctrine of the earth's rotundity. The theory of the earth's rotation was met by a like opposition, because besides depriving our orb of its dignified central position in space, this theory produced an appalling confusion of ideas as to the ascension, the terms up and down being proved to be merely relative, thus complicating not a little the question of the precise locality of heaven. Is then our microscopical earth, a grain of sand on an infinite seashore, the only center of intelligent life? So listen, they are basically mashing the gas. They are hammering this thing home. You are nothing. Your Bible is wrong. The earth is nothing but a grain of sand. There are aliens out there. There it is. In Lucifer magazine, Secret Doctrine, the prime occult leader of that age. Our own sun itself, 1,300,000 times larger than our planet, sinks into insignificance beside the giant sun, Sirius. The self-centered conception of Jehovah as the special guardian of a small and obscure semi-nomadic tribe is tolerable beside that which confines sentient existence to our microscopical globe. Astronomical ignorance on the part of the early Christians, coupled with an exaggerated appreciation of man's own importance, a crude form of selfishness, is the primary reason for this thinking. Now, this is amazing. You got Luciferians, occult, devil-worshipping Luciferians saying, you Christians are just selfish. You think you're the only one out there. You don't realize there are so many life forms in outer space, and our earth is insignificant. Well, number one, we do believe there's life out there. The Bible calls them angels and calls them devils. And if they ever start talking to anybody and they start telling them a bunch of lies, they're not talking to good angels, they're talking to bad angels. And it's a form of divination to try to talk to them. So Blavatsky believed in spirit guides from other planets who come to Earth from time to time, and they come to help humans evolve. There it is. Theosophical Quarterly in 1905 has an article, "What is Theosophy?" Now you say, well, why do I care what theosophy is? Well, even though you've probably never heard of it, unless it's from one of my sermons, the whole world is saturated with it. Now, J.K. Rowling, whatever her name is not going to write a book and tell you a whole bunch about theosophy. But all of these ideas are in J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter novels. You let your kids sit in here and watch these cartoons and all this other Masters of the Universe trash. It's all theosophy. See, your kids are growing up basically understanding theosophy, even though they don't know what the name of it is. See, because the Masons and Blavatsky and these occultists, they said, we don't care about names. We oftentimes use fiction to communicate our idea. So Blavatsky said, there's so many people writing novels about aliens and things in her day, and she says, these are inspired by devils. Or she would call them spirit guides. But she says, these are inspired books. She would believe the movies today are inspired by these spirit guides, whether the authors knew it or not. So they don't care what you call it. Crawley said, just call magic science, you know. That's all it is. It's just science. So what is theosophy? Well, here it is. Our evolution has been guided by elder brothers who passed through the same experience untold ages ago. Sounds like Mormonism. At favorable times, they send their messengers, such as Jacob Beam and Paracelsus and H.P. Blavatsky. While theosophy explains man's ascent by the slow way of evolution, it also points out a more rapid method of progress by the law of sacrifice. Scary words. We are destined to go infinitely higher and to take our place among the perfected and triumphant masters of the wisdom. In other words, you're going to become an alien. You're going to become a Martian. You're going to become a god. That's what she's saying. If you will listen to the aliens, they will help you become God. That's why they wanted to give you E.T. to your children. That's why they want to give you all these movies and interest you so much in aliens. Now, what is this law of sacrifice? They said we can get a quantum leap here, a more rapid method of progress. We don't have to wait millions of years to become God if we will sacrifice. Well, that means sacrifice your mind first off and submit to theosophy or these occult ideas. Just totally sacrifice your mind and quit thinking. But Crowley said, oh, there's also a bloody sacrifice associated with this that'll usher in the new age. When the God-man comes, the whole planet will be bathed in blood. And they'll say that we have to have this sacrifice. Don't worry, the aliens are telling us we have to have this. Guess who they're going to be killing? See, Jesus makes it clear. There's going to be false prophets like never before. And then he says persecution comes. Revelation chapter 6, the white horse, which pictures the false prophets coming, this message, this lie that Martians took us. Then you get down to the fifth seal, a bloodbath. Souls under the altar, slain for the Word of God. Why are they slain? They're slain for the Word of God. They're slain for the King James Bible. They're slain because they're fundamentalists, folks. I hope you're understanding this. I do not want you to get caught up in this Martian mania. And I do not want you to get caught up in this spirit out here that's turning from the Word of God and turning from the King James Bible, turning from fundamentalism, thinking it's going to find liberty, but it's just setting itself up for the great lie, the great deception. Well, as theosophy is gaining ground, in 1897, H.G. Wells publishes The War of the Worlds. And what does he say in his book? Earth is visited by evolved Martians. What happens when the evolved Martians come? Insane Christians think it's the end of the world. And they start saying, this is Armageddon. But they're seen to be mad and crazy. So the Martians start sending down these invisible fire rays to slay people. Sounds like Revelation 13. He's going to cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. And who is getting slain? Wikipedia tells us an insane clergyman is a key character in the novel. His attempts to relate the invasion to some kind of biblical enactment of Armageddon seem only to reinforce his mental derangement. His death, as a result of his evangelical outbursts and ravings attracting the attention of the Martians, appears to be an indictment of his outdated religious attitudes, making him a candidate for culling by natural selection at the hands of the superior evolved Martians. Okay, so here it is. 1897, H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds, Martians are coming, they're evolved. And who's in the way, brother? Fundamental Christians with your stupid, outdated ideas. And what's got to happen? You got to be culled. You have to be cleansed, purged. The earth has to be purged. We have to get rid of you by the death ray so we can evolve. Now, if you think that was just a joke that H.G. Wells was writing, no. He was giving occult ideas in fiction so you would embrace it. In his Open Conspiracy of 1928, he said plainly and literally, the world is undergoing immense changes. Certain established traditions are positively injurious and dangerous. Establishing a world order cannot fail to arouse enormous opposition. This propaganda has to go on. So he admitted his book is propaganda. All of this stuff is propaganda. It will be, frankly, a world religion. The old faiths are damaged and discredited. So this UFO mania has behind it a far more sinister goal, and that is to get rid of fundamentalism and establish a world religion. He says in his New World Order of 1940, countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting against it. So then you have H.P. Lovecraft, who died in 1937. At the turn of the 20th century, he began to write a whole lot of theosophy books, only he hid it like J.K. Rowling does in science fiction about aliens, and the popular masses begin to digest it at the turn of the 20th century. So much so that Popular Mechanics by 1933 says scientists now are agreed that there is life on Mars. In 1934, they said intelligent beings could have been evolved earlier than life on Earth, placing the Martians today where we Earthians will be a million years hence. It is possible that they have been signaling us for centuries, hoping the time would come when we would be intelligent enough to detect these signals. So then they have to do a test run. On Halloween night of 1938, Orson Welles broadcast a radio version of H.G. Wells' War of the World. It caused chaos. A million people were deceived. Observers write, look what they were able to do with special effects. Look how many people they were able to deceive with sound effects only. What could we do with not only sound effects, but visual effects? What could we do? You'll always have people on the side that are not in the mainstream that don't believe it or suspect something's not as it appears. But look what we can do. He made over a million people think that the world had been invaded by Martians. By the time you get to 1947, pilot Kenneth Arnold spots 9 unidentified objects, UFOs, and then the whole craze. Everybody goes UFO crazy. I mean, there are comic books, movies, books, TV, it all explodes. The flying saucer craze was ignited. Well, what does that set you up for? It sets you up for the 1960s and NASA and the space race. We'll come back to that. In 1953, you have George Adamski and Desmond Liz Leslie, and they write their flying saucers have landed. Adamski swears that he saw a spaceship land in the desert in California and that he made contact with one of its occupants. The book says a UFO landed long ago and helped man evolve, and it just goes through history cataloging the various UFO sightings. Since the late 1960s, Hollywood could not stop its space alien propaganda. If you think they're just making money, you're deceived. You're deceived. There's more to it than money. In 1968, the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, was based on the writings of Arthur C. Clarke. Clark's book contained a section titled Lucifer Rising. It is a rising sun from Jupiter that illuminates the earth with its light. Darkness, fear, suspicion fade away and mankind becomes illuminated through the light of Lucifer. In 1984, a sequel was released. 2010, the year we make contact. They're a little behind schedule, notice. But they're catching up quickly, aren't they? They want to make contact. And what's the end goal? The light of Lucifer. There it is. It's theosophy. It's occultism. It's the lie of the devil. You shall be as gods. Fundamentalism is holding you back. The Bible's holding you back. We need the Bible properly understood as you smoke your marijuana. Which brings me to Eric von Daniken's 1968 book, Chariots of the Gods. He sells thousands and thousands of these. One of the most best-selling, I believe, books on archaeology, so-called, out there. And he turns the ancient astronaut evolved alien idea into a mainstream belief. So people with their marijuana, this became their Bible. They began to say, are you a Christian? As they smoke their joint, they say, oh, wow, you got to see this book, Chariots of the Gods, you know, Return to the Stars and Gods from Outer Space, you know, by this man. He shows that, you know, the Bible, yeah, it's got some good parts, but that's all UFO stuff. Ezekiel saw a UFO. And, you know, astronauts used to be here long ago, and they're evolved, and we're going to become gods too. And basically, that began the hippie stoner culture. That's what they believed. At the same time, you had NASA's astronauts, 33-degree Masons, Buzz Aldrin. Supposedly, what, the second man on the moon claims he brought a Masonic flag to the moon? And then he doesn't tell you for years, and then he comes out and says, oh, by the way, on my way up there, I saw a UFO. See, they're slowly releasing this stuff. It's like the Catholic Church. They slowly release it. They can't move too quickly, but they can slowly release it. See? Edgar Mitchell, supposedly the sixth man on the moon, He came out and says, I happen to have been privileged enough to be in on the fact that we've been visited on this planet and the UFO phenomena is real. It's been well covered up by all our governments for the last 60 years or so, but slowly it's leaked out. Some of us have been privileged to have been briefed on some of it. They go to NASA and say, well, what do you think about your man here, supposedly the sixth man on the moon, saying that he knows that y'all have contact with aliens? They go, oh, well, we don't validate anything that he says, you know. So you can't move too quickly. You can't move too quickly, but you release it. You release it enough to keep everybody hysterical. Well, then, the whole Star Wars forces with you stuff and Close Encounters that my generation grew up on. And basically, I've not kept up with it since Close Encounters, but I promise you they've had a new alien movie every year. You understand that? I mean, they have not stopped the saturation. And it's more than mere entertainment, it's preparation. Cable TV series such as Ancient Aliens, letting this man... Donakin, whatever his name is, letting him be one of the spokesmen for the show. So let's fast forward now. You know what happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Well, some of you weren't born, so you don't know, but trust me, it was all little green men being invaded so they could help planet Earth thwart its nuclear calamity by getting in touch with aliens, and basically, that's the line, that's the story. So let's fast forward to September 17th, 2010. Pope's astronomer says he would baptize an alien if it asked him. You got to get the Catholic Church in on this thing, see? They have to be in on it. An alien, no matter how many tentacles it has, could have a soul, says Pope's astronomer. Guy Consol Magno, one of the Pope's astronomers, said he would be delighted. The official also dismissed intelligent design as bad theology that had been hijacked by American creation fundamentalists. Now remember now, Martians are good, fundamentalists are evil. The Pope's astronomer said the Vatican was keen on science and admitted that the church had got it spectacularly wrong over its treatment of the 17th century astronomer Galileo. Galileo confirmed that the earth went around the sun and not the other way around. Only in 1992 did Pope John Paul admit that the church's treatment of Galileo had been a mistake. You see the incremental... You know, you see this. They are moving quickly. Catholic News Service of 2014. Jesuit Guy Consol Magno. Oh, he's a Jesuit. The new president of the Vatican Observatory Foundation has no doubt that life exists elsewhere in the universe. So now they have no doubt. And that when humanity discovers it, when they do, the news will come as no big surprise. The general public is going to be, oh, I knew that. That's like Natural News the other day. I mean, 9 times out of 10... Mike Adams is right about so much when it comes to food and things like that. We don't agree on everything, but, you know, his eyes are open to a lot of things. But he puts out a news article the other day and says, oh, well, we already knew that there was water on Mars. We already knew, you know, they're covering up all kinds of stuff. So that is going to be the mentality. So when aliens do contact us, you're going to have people say, well, we knew that. You know, they've been covering up for a long time. Prior to a presentation at NASA Library of Congress Symposium on what? Preparing for the discovery of life in the universe. Sounds like they are preparing for something. The longtime Vatican astronomer addresses the same question in a new book, Would You Baptize an Extraterrestrial? Co-written by Jesuit Paul Mueller, another Vatican Observatory astronomer. So here you got these astronomer Jesuits basically getting ready to baptize Martians. Any race advanced enough to cross the stars to visit us must also be advanced enough, or what are they going to show us? How to overcome all those human ills. They look to the aliens to be saviors of mankind. Consol Magno will receive the Carl Sagan Medal. Good old Carl Sagan the pagan. Then you've got 2014. Oh, let's go up now to May 13, 2014. Pope Francis has said that he would be willing to baptize aliens if they came to the Vatican, asking, who are we to close doors to anyone, even Martians? In a homily yesterday dedicated to the concepts of acceptance and inclusion. So here we go. You accept the charismatics, you accept the sodomites, and now you accept green Martians. I mean, you got to accept them. You got to be loving. We allow sodomites in our church. Yeah, you can be a deacon in our church and be a sodomite. That's what they tell me. They say you're not supposed to follow the Bible. You know, God's outside the Bible, says Broadway Baptist Church. And so, and now, I mean, it's okay to just flood your country with illegal immigrants that are bringing Catholicism. And it's okay to just have no control over that whatsoever. Just let America be flooded and don't worry about any of that. And just understand the Green Martians are next. And it's going to be the fundamentalists in the way every single time. See, these fundamentalists that don't want to accept the Martians. He said Catholicism was a church of open doors. Remember the atheist in 1895, 1897 says a new church is coming. A church without walls. A church based on love, not doctrine. And that it was up to Christians to accept the Holy Spirit, however unthinkable and unimaginable it appears. So here's what the Pope just did. The Pope just said that when the aliens come and talk, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. See, that's the Holy Spirit. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. Yes. Describing how, according to the Bible, Peter was criticized by the Christians of Jerusalem for making contact with a community of unclean pagans, Francis said that at the time, that too was unthinkable. Clarifying that he really was talking about aliens, the Pope said, Martians, right? Green, with long noses and big ears, like in children's drawings. Francis said that Christianity had struggled from its earliest stages with the temptation to reject the living presence of God in various forms. Well, there it is. So, remember, Peter was afraid to eat with the Gentiles or embarrassed or ashamed. Well, there you go. You're afraid to eat with the Martians that are coming. And while you have, you ought to eat with the Sodomites, or you're going to be like Peter, who Paul rebuked. So you fundamentalists are always afraid to accept the gays and accept the Martians, and you've got to accept the Holy Spirit. I mean, you need the tongue speaking, the mysticism, the earth worship, and the Martians. And remember green now, that's all throughout the Harry Potter novels. And it's a special color for these Masons. It's an occult culture color that means enlightenment. So everything's green, green Martians. It's because they're enlightened. They know more than you. They have the secrets, the keys. Okay, so there's the Pope. You see what they're doing. They're waiting to baptize the Martian. So now let's go back to NASA. All right, we left them somewhere supposedly on the moon. They've never been back there. And their astronauts saying that, oh yes, we have made contact with aliens. We're just covering it up. And of course, they're 33rd degree Masons anyway. So now we'll fast forward to September 11, 2014. NASA, and this is from the NASA government website. There's all kinds of things I could give you today if I follow the conspiracy websites and things, but I'm trying to give you mainstream things that people just aren't aware of or they haven't summarized. NASA research gives guideline for future alien life search. So they're serious about this. 2014 again, June 12th, NASA university researchers discussed search for life in solar system and beyond. So university researchers got together with NASA scientists and they all sat down to discuss life in the solar system. Here's 2015, April 21st. NASA is bringing together experts spanning a variety of scientific fields for an unprecedented initiative dedicated to the search for life on planets outside our solar system. The discovery of the first exoplanet around a star like our sun was made in 1995. So they have been crazy ever since. Since the launch of NASA's Kepler Space Telescope 6 years ago, more than 1,000 exoplanets have been found. So they are getting excited about really finding life out there. They're waiting for contact. This was updated in 2015, originally from 2003, from NASA's website. Most astrophysicists accept a high probability of there being life elsewhere in the universe. History tells us that it's prudent to be guided by the notion that we are not special. Well, that's right out of Theosophy, which is generally known as the Copernican principle. The Earth-centered universe was by far the most popular view for most of the last 2,000 years. It has humbled our egos with the realization that not only is Earth not in the center of the solar system, but the solar system is not in the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and the Milky Way galaxy is not in the center of the universe. And aliens need not look like us to resemble us in more fundamental ways. So there you go. That could have been written by Blavatsky herself. The Earth is nothing. You're just a grain of sand, and the aliens are coming. Interestingly, Snowden, who is against the wiretapping in America and has fled America, he said aliens probably are trying to contact us right now, but it's encrypted. We just need to get the technology to figure out what they're really saying. There's conspiracy ideas that quote him saying that really the aliens are out there, and I have proof that the government knows they're there, but they're actually from the heart of the earth. Hey, they're getting closer. You know what I mean? Because pretty soon somebody is going to come from the bottomless pit. Well, just the other day, from TheGuardian.com, Christian, just when film fans and the media are getting excited about the entertaining new sci-fi movie, The Martian, a film with which NASA has cooperated, and now NASA itself has chosen this moment to get us all excited about some news about the red planet. There is water. Water that could sustain life. When I heard about the news from NASA, I put on my DVD edition of Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. So here we have a movie opening, 18 million on its opening day. And you have NASA saying right when the movie opens, we have found water on Mars. I'm a skeptic that they have anything on Mars. But if they could prove they found water on Mars, the Bible speaks of waters in the heavens, and that would be no strange thing. But of course, everybody is so excited about it because they think that they're going to find life. They're going to find Martians. And I looked at many blogs and many comments of these articles, and people are like, I really do hope they're going to announce that we found aliens. I really hope that this is going to be it. This is what we've been waiting for. They've been primed by all of this propaganda. And never forget that not only the movies, but all scientific publishing around the world is controlled by six corporations. Six corporations control all of the science, so-called, that's ever published. So this is propaganda. Propaganda. October 1st, just a few days ago, look at this headline. Google executive says with robots in our brain, we'll be godlike. He says, evolution creates structures and patterns that over time are more complicated, more knowledgeable, more intelligent, more creative, more capable of expressing higher sentiments like being loving, Google exec Ray Kurzweil said. So it's moving in the direction that God has been described as having. Yes, we are becoming gods. Evolution is a spiritual process and makes us more godlike, was Kurzweil's conclusion. I just wanted to give you that to show that people understand that this is the end goal of the evolution idea. See, this is the whole point of evolution, to bring you to Genesis chapter 3. But it's not just to let you think you're going to be a god. It's through the means of ascending above the heights of the clouds. See, I will be like the Most High, said Satan, with his five I wills. There's an organization called UFO International Project, UIP, just to show you where these people are at. They say it's about uniting the people of this world in order to connect with beings not of this world. It's an important step forward for all of mankind, no matter what your belief is. A new dawn is coming for mankind. They tell us we at UIP have said many times to our followers that it feels like we are being built up to something, and hopefully this is it. Official contact of beings not of this world. However, as stated before, there are those here on planet Earth, through their own control and idealistic beliefs, will not appreciate beings not of this world. I mean, you wouldn't be mean to a Martian, would you? I mean, would you really walk up to a Martian and say, let me ask you some questions right out of the Bible here. See, you're going to be one of those negative thinkers, and you're ruining everything. So they're going to have to say, please excuse us, Mr. Martian. These people have been a plague to us. They've been holding back our evolution. We hate them. And we're so embarrassed by these people. So notice what they say. As stated before, there are those here on this planet, through their own, I don't believe this is even a planet, through their own control and idealistic beliefs, will not appreciate beings not of this world. That could leave maybe only one way to deal with the suffering of this beautiful blue planet. Now, you know what these people say? They say there's many Christians in this organization. But yet they say, so-called Christians, they say, to eradicate the cancer of this planet. You leave us no other choice. What did H.G. Wells say? There's no other choice. You will either, by propaganda, embrace this, and if you don't follow the propaganda, we will have to use more drastic measures. This is why we have to create unity around the world, but also choose not to accept those that try to divide us. Oh, and just in case you don't know who he's talking about, they used to say these types of comments, insinuations, but now the Pope and everybody's coming out and saying, no, let's just be clear who we're talking about. That being the fundamentalist of this planet. I mean, they just tell you clearly now. The Pope tells you clearly who the great cancer is. It's the fundamentalists. Remember, the theosophist said a more rapid evolution comes with sacrifice, bloodshed. Jesus put it as clear as can be in Matthew 24, first the false prophets, then the persecution. Revelation chapter 6, first the white horse of deception, and then all of the terror on the earth, and then finally the persecution. Now, you could collect numerous statements such as UIP has made. I will not multiply them today, but just to show you what is coming and what these people believe and what the real agenda behind the space program, this alien Martian mania, what the real agenda is that we are supposedly about to be in contact with Martians so we can speed up our evolution so we can become gods. But just as Jehovah God and His command was in the way, you fundamentalists are in the way. So Barbara Marx Hubbard, a New Age leader who wrote the book in 1986, Happy Birthday Planet Earth, says all who choose not to evolve will die off. So you will go along with it, or you will be killed off. But don't worry. Since they believe in reincarnation, you don't just become annihilated or go to hell or something. What happens is you just go back and you'll have to go through the whole evolutionary process again, you know. So it's not a bad thing they're doing to you. They're helping humanity. It seems bad, but it's not. That's what they're saying. Barbara Marx Hubbard in her manual for co-creators of the Quantum Leap. Evolution is good, but it's not nice. This act is as horrible as killing a cancer cell. So you say, that's terrible. You're going to kill a lot of Christians? Well, you got to kill a cancer cell. It must be done for the sake of the future of the whole. So be it. Be prepared for the selection process, which is now beginning. Now, this is supposedly she's in touch with the Martians and they're speaking through her. We, the elders, have been patiently waiting until the very last moment before the quantum transformation to take action to cut out this corrupted and corrupting element in the body of humanity. The destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body. So when these aliens are supposedly speaking through these spirit guides are speaking through these mediums, these people that are supposedly in contact with the Martians, they are telling, these devils are telling these New Age leaders that, of course, we're going to have to cleanse and purge the earth. So when you hear the Pope and all of these other Jesuits and Masons and others, when they're talking about fundamentalism being the great cancer and being the great evil, they are priming the pump, folks. They are letting you know what H.G. Wells and others have said is coming. They are going to cleanse, and they have to cleanse. This is their idea. They have to cleanse the earth of fundamentalism because you are hindering the quantum leap. You are hindering evolution. And it's just part of the natural selection process. You have to get zapped by the Martian ray gun, or else you will hold us back from visualizing and obtaining world peace. And by the way, if you don't kill these Christians, we're going to end up in nuclear war, and we're hurting the earth. So to save Mother Earth and to evolve, we have to cleanse it. We have to eliminate. We have to purge. A body has to eliminate. And to keep you from being unnecessarily frightened about these things, the Lord Jesus Christ says, fear not him, fear not them, which can kill your body, but cannot kill your soul. But rather fear him, which after he hath killed can destroy both soul and body in hell. Him shall you fear, says the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's remain God-fearing. Amen? Let's fear our Lord, not fear what any of these New Agers or any of these Masons or occult people can do to us. They can just hurt your body if God permits and only if God permits. But they cannot touch your soul. The only way they can touch your soul is by deception. If you listen to them and believe their lies. And a lot of people will embrace what's coming out of fear. Some will be deceived and they'll want to follow the Green Martian idea. You know, they'll want to be liberated and be God. But many people will simply be afraid. I need to go along with everything. I don't want to be different. I don't want to be one of those fundamentalists that they're always talking about are so bad on TV. And the more you watch these movies, the more you're going to be ashamed to be a Christian. The more you watch these television shows, the more you're going to be afraid to be a Christian. And the more you're going to be in touch with devils. The more you allow your children to sit and eat and breathe and digest this propaganda, the more the devils are going to get control over their minds. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And the Bible says that he that causes one of these little ones to stumble is better than a millstone be hung about their neck and they drown in the depths of the sea. And I'm speaking to fathers and I'm speaking to mamas. It's not funny. It's not cute to let your children watch New Age trash. It's not cute. It's not funny. Magic is not cute. People die. Bad things happen. Souls are destroyed through sorcery and magic. It's not a game. John 16, my last verse for you today. The Lord Jesus Christ says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't lose your joy in Christ Jesus. Amen? Don't lose your joy. Don't let any of these things frighten you. You're a Christian. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Hey, the Bible said, blessed is he that reads that book of Revelation. I'm going through it with my children, and we've now made it to Revelation 21. And oh, what a thrill it's been to read. Hey, we win in the end, folks. God wins in the end. You understand? You're going to have some tribulation, some persecution. But for all eternity, we win. So that is a blessing. That is a blessing. So you might be ashamed to be among godly Christians, but remember, when the Lamb comes out of the sky, they pray to the rocks to fall on them. And the great men, the Bible said the kings of the earth, the mighty men, the captains, the kings, they pray to the rocks to fall on them to save them from the wrath of the Lamb. And I tell you, the Lord says, he that is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of him when I come with the glory of my Father and with the angels. Ooh, we want to be on that side, amen? We want to be dressed and right and just ready. And we want to be of that crowd. We want to be of that crowd because that's the side that wins. Amen? That's the side that's right. Dear Holy Father, we do give you thanks that you have given us the Bible. And Lord, it exposes the agenda. We're not ignorant of these schemes, dear God. We see what's coming. We're able to discern the times, Lord, through your book that you've entrusted to us. Lord, I pray for every person in this church and listening to this sermon, God, keep them, Father. Keep them from deception. Let them stay close to your King James Bible, Father. Let them stay close to the Bible. Let them beware and take heed to their children and to themselves. Let them not be caught up in this Martian, devilish propaganda, dear God. Let them never turn their heart away from your rules, Lord, and your ways. Because you said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep your commandments and they're not grievous. And you said this is how we love the children of God, when we love God and keep your commandments, God. This is love. Let us never be deceived about that, Father. Let none of our young people ever embrace this Martian lie, Lord. Let them never turn against a good church, Father. Turn against you. Turn against your ways and say, I want more freedom, Lord, because we know it's not freedom, dear God. It's actually slavery and bondage to sin, Father. Your ways and your rules are actually fences that liberate us, God, and keep us from being slaves to Satan in this world and ourselves. Father, we do pray that you just rebuke this lie. Help me as a pastor to continue to rebuke it. Let us not be deceived, Father. There's some, Lord, that just think their whole world is crashing and shaking when they find out that they're being deceived by leaders, God. They want everything to be normal. They want everything to be okay. They don't want to believe that people in high places will deceive them, Lord. Father, we know that your book teaches that deceivers will come and will increase. Forgive us for putting faith in man and his propaganda. Open the eyes of many, Lord, to the fullness of the deception. Keep us from error, God. We love you. Come quickly, Lord. We look for you to come. You've already come down from heaven. You've died for us, resurrected and ascended up to heaven. Thank you, God. And I do thank you that we have your book, your word, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Thank you for that book. We need no other revelation. Amen.